Good morning. It's great to see you guys. Great to be here. Great to share fellowship together. Great to share communion. It's just great to be here. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm just amazed at God's grace and God's mercy. Leslie recently had a bereavement, and it's a hard thing when you see. And you see death face to face, and we had to do that. And so when we sing these songs that say that I will see Jesus, I have a certainty, and we have a certainty in our life. I know where we are going. I know who we will see. Then it puts something in there that says, yeah, come on, thank you, God. Yeah, because there are people who don't. So I just praise God for that. Really do praise God for that. Okay. So those of you who don't know me, my name's Tony. I'm one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church. And I'm going to sort of carry on a little bit on the theme of building, the theme of Built to Last, which we've been looking at for some time now. But I want to start with a passion, not so much a passion of mine, although I quite enjoy it, but a passion of my wife's. And that's Formula One. Woo! Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, but she has a passion for Formula One. But not just Formula One. She has a passion for a particular driver in Formula One. And that particular driver is called Lewis Hamilton. Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay, so there he is on his car. I don't know which particular race or Grand Prix he was winning at that point. I want to ask a question about this. And what I want to ask is this. How many people do you think it has taken in order to get Lewis Hamilton to win 7 world championships? How many people? Hundreds? 248. That's very specific, Tim. Thank you. Any other numbers? It was a bit of a gap there, wasn't it? Dozens and a thousand? Well, this is it, you see. Okay. Well, there are rather a lot. Okay. Let's just sort of go through some of these. If you put that next picture up, you can see there some of the team that are there. And that's not all of them. That's not all of them. I think that's when he was winning his fifth, he'd won his fifth title. I think there are 5 cars. They're all going 5. So, all in high five. So, that's some of the team that were behind Lewis Hamilton winning the championship. Okay, 5 times at that point, but since then, 7. But behind this guy, if I can put it back onto me now, because 5. Okay, what have we got in that team? Well, we've got the drivers. Yeah, we've got Lewis Hamilton, we've got Valtteri Bottas. We've got the guys that you see. The ones that are most obvious, aren't they? They're the ones we go, oh, they're brilliant, yeah? They're the ones that, in a sense, we see winning. But then behind them, you've got the race engineers. They're the ones that give them the instructions. They're the ones that are continually talking to them, helping them through the race, giving them advice. They're communicating to the drivers at every opportunity. You've got the data analysts. You've got the people who are looking at what's going on, how fast they're going, where they're missing time, where they can gain time, how their tyres are doing. All this sort of stuff is going on. So you've got these sort of people going all the time. You've got the mechanics. And you've got, it takes 3 of them per wheel to change a tyre. That's why they can do it in 2.3 seconds. They can change 4 tyres in 2.3 seconds. Yeah, it takes me 2.3 hours to do 1, okay? But they have 3 guys per tyre. Plus they have a guy that says where they can come in with a go, and all sorts. They also have their own mechanics team for each car. A team of mechanics. They have the team principal, the guy that, in a sense, heads it all up. They have a media team to make sure that, they're looking their best, they're doing right, they're, in the world of media. They have a media... We've got a media team. Hi, guys. Thank you. Woo. Yeah, come on. That's why you can see what you can see today, you guys who are online, because of the media team. Anyway, okay. They have security team. We have a welcome team. No, they're not. No, sorry, not a welcome. No, they're not bouncers. But they have a security team. These guys are worth a lot of money. These cars are worth a lot of money. This technical equipment is worth a lot of money. They have specialists for each track who know the track inside out. They have trainers to help them keep fit and to do all the mental stuff and do all the physical stuff. You can have up to 75 people just on the day of the race. And then you have the factory workers. You have all the people, the engineers, the people that design the car, the people that make the car, the people that put it all together. You've then got the logistics team that take everything to different places, making sure that everything arrives. Can you imagine arriving on the day of the race and finding you haven't got the car? Or the steering wheel which comes off. Hold on, we haven't got a steering wheel. You know, can you imagine that? Logistics. The thousands of pieces that had to be put together. Aerodynamicists. Try saying that without your teeth. Okay. Research and development scientists. Events management. Catering. Hospitality. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. There are thousands of people involved in this one person winning a race. Many of those are hidden. In fact, the majority are hidden. Yeah, we only tend to see a few up front, don't we? Okay? But they all bring different skills. They all bring different aspects, which without them, the team would not have been successful and will not be successful. And so what I want to talk about this morning, as part of our Built to Last series, as it were, is how we can play our part on this team. What it means to be on Team CLC. Yeah? What it means, you know, and so I've called this talk Team Building. And there's a bit of a play on words with that, okay? Team Building. I'd love this picture. So if you can see it, I don't know how well you can see it at home or even here, but you can see they're all wearing the same. Yeah? Well, we're not planning to do that, okay, guys? It's not a uniform. But I've noticed there's one guy on the top left, about halfway up the roof, with a yellow top. Didn't get the memo, did he? Yeah? Everyone else is wearing the same. Anyway, there we go. But team building. Okay, why have I called it team building? Well, I've called it team building because this is what I want us to get to. Because here at CLC and in the church wider, we want to build a team that builds as team a spiritual building, a church that is fit for the King to dwell in, bringing glory to him and a place of hope for Hereford, Herefordshire, and beyond. Amen. Yeah? Yes. Is that it? I'm going to say it again. We want to build a team that builds as team a spiritual building, a church that is fit for the King to dwell in, bringing glory to him and a place of hope for Hereford, Herefordshire, and beyond. Amen. Thank you. Come on. Now, the first thing I want to say about this, and it's one we hear all the time, but it's really important we never lose sight of it, is that actually it's God who is building the church. Yeah? Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Yeah. Ultimately, it is God who builds his church. You see, without him at the center of everything we do, we will not accomplish anything that will last. Okay? And it says this. It's Psalm 127. We know it well. It's been said a lot over these last few months. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Well, how does the Lord build a house if we are the builders? You see, we need to work with God. As builders, we work with God. Because he's given us everything we need to build. He's given us the tools. He's given us the equipment so that we can build the way he wants us to build. Okay? And he calls those, and we call them, spiritual gifts. That is the tool that we've been given. Okay? In order to build. Because we can't build naturally something that is spiritual. Yeah? Okay? We have natural gifts and abilities, yes? Which is great. But it's not those that will build a spiritual house for the Lord. What will build a spiritual house for the Lord are the spiritual gifts that he has given us. Okay? So when we talk about building, the only way we can build a house for the Lord, a church, the church, is by building using the spiritual gifts that he has given. You see, what has been born by the Spirit can only be sustained by the Spirit. And that is so important that we understand that it's only by spiritual gifts we will build a spiritual church. Because we could build a church naturally. We could build a church with our amazing ability that we just naturally have. Who needs God? When you do it that way, we don't. We can go through the motions and we can just do the stuff that we do very well. But we're not building a spiritual church for the house, a house where the Lord can dwell. We're not building a spiritual church that can impact this city, this county, this nation and beyond. The only way we're going to do that is by building the way God wants us to build. That's why, without God building, we cannot build anything that will last. Okay? Now, like I said, God has given us everything we need to build this church. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. As soon as you accepted Jesus into your life, the moment you said, okay, I accept you as Lord and Savior, he gave you gifts. He gave you the tools and said, great, you're on team. Brilliant, you're now part of this team. Here are the gifts I need you to use. Here are the gifts to build with. Here are the tools that I'm giving you specifically as part of the team. You're now building church with me. Oh, isn't that exciting? You're now building church with me. That's what God was saying to each one of us the day we said yes to him. Woo, come on. I love it. So, we have these spiritual gifts and they're here to build. Now, another way of using the word build is to edify. Okay, you build something, but you edify somebody. Body. And they are for the building up of the body, these gifts. So if we look at Ephesians 4, okay, it says this, we are all parts of one body. What Tim was saying earlier on in communion, yeah? We have the same Spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future. For us, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we all have the same God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through every part of us. However, Christ has given each of us, not some of us, each of us special abilities. Whatever he wants us to have out of his rich storehouse of gifts. What did Hannah say this morning? God only gives good gifts. Yeah. Come on. So he's given them to us, they're good. Yeah? Okay? We have one Spirit, one God. But we have many gifts that we can use. And each one of us, each one of you, each one of you out there in WW, World Wide Web Land, who are watching this online, Okay, each one of you has been given gifts to use for the building of the church. And they may be different sizes. They may look different. They may have different jobs, different roles, different things. Just like that team that Hamilton has behind him. But they're all important. That's really important that you know that. Okay, because sometimes we think, oh, that's one of those really small little micro screwdrivers. Yeah, so small. I can only do little things. But boy, do you need those. Ever need to try and get a really small screw out of something, and you've got these big chunky screwdrivers? It don't work, does it? Come on, everything, no matter what size, is important, has its place, has its role, has its function. It says, some scriptures here, just to sort of back it up with scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. The entire church. Romans 12:4, verses 4 to 5. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. Different work to do. Why? Because you've got different tools in your toolbox. Yeah? Some of you are plumbers. Woo! Some of you are electricians. Woo! Some of you are brickies. Some of you do the roofing. Some of you do the tiling. Some of you do the flooring. Some of you put the kitchens in. I can do none of that. I live in the house and admire the work of everyone else. No, I don't. Oh, dear. You see, you cannot build a house with just one screwdriver. Can't do it. One person does not build a church. One gift does not meet all the needs. And one individual does not reach and teach a generation. We all have a part to play. So in 1 Peter, it says this, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Pressing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. See, we talked a lot in part of our Built to Last series about loving one another, about the need to help one another and support one another, and how important it is as we know God's love as the foundation of our lives, that we then express that love to each other and then express that love to the world. We need to be sure to use them. There's a story I read about a guy called Paganini. Now, some of you may have heard of Paganini. Paganini was a very, very famous violinist, okay? And he used to excel at performing on the violin and wrote a lot of stuff. And it was just a beautiful sound. It was a lovely thing, what he produced with his violin. And when he died, he willed his violin, this amazing violin, to the city of Genoa in Italy. And he gave a condition, and the condition was, it was never to be played again. So this violin has sat there, never played, never used. And as a result of that, the wood has decayed, woodworm have got in, and it is no longer something that can be used. You see, this beautiful instrument that he had used died effectively because it wasn't used anymore. So what am I saying with that? Well, very obvious, isn't it? We've all got gifts. Use it or lose it. Okay? And, you know, it can be a bit harsh. But that's what it's about. God says, you know, we need to use our gifts. We need to be encouraged to use them. Don't just let them go to waste. Because they will. So I'm going to go through the gifts. Okay? And there are various lists in the Bible, various groupings of gifts. I'm going to go through them very, very briefly, because I don't want to spend loads of time on the list of the gifts. Because you can study that for yourself. There are lots of things you can go on to find out the gifts and look at what they are and so on. But I want to just look at some of the key things about these gifts. So there are, effectively, you can break down the gifts, as it were, the toolbox, into three sort of categories. Okay, there are ministry gifts, there are manifestation gifts, and there are motivational gifts. So there are sort of, in a sense, three categories of gifting. Now, the first gift, the ministry gifts, you can find the majority of them in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. So here they are. So it says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So people often call that the fivefold ministry. Yeah, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. In 1 Corinthians, there's a similar list, but they also add a ministry of help. Ministry of helpers. Whoa, that's a little bit of sort of strange one to put in there, but it's in there. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, the thing about these particular gifts is that not everyone is called to ministry. Okay? Not everyone is going to have one of those gifts. They're not always going to be in your toolbox. And so what happens sometimes is we tend to see these gifts as, oh, there's a prophet. He's an apostle. We tend to put these gifts very high up, don't we? We can sometimes make them high. And if we didn't do that, we then look at the person who's got the gift and go, oh, he's an apostle. He's a prophet. He's an elder. Oh, it's not on there. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. And sometimes, therefore, what we do is we put these on a pedestal. Not just the gift, but the person who has the gift. Yeah? And I just want to say, guys, no, don't do that. Yeah? Because there is nowhere that I can see in the Bible that ranks them in a particular order. Yeah, there's no ranking. All right? Yeah, there's no ranking. There's no one more important than the other. It just says they are for the building up and edification of the church. Yeah? So if they're not, it's not them that rank, then don't start ranking the person. Okay? Don't start ranking the person who has the gift as well. They are no more important. I stand here maybe with some of those gifts. I am no more important than you there and you guys out there. God's given a gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift that he's given. But if I choose not to use it, I'll be sat there. So I don't want to dwell on those anymore, because I just want to just make us aware that really we've got to be careful where we put those gifts, yeah, and the people who have them. So, ministry gifts. And if you've got a ministry gift, go for it. Come on. Yeah? Use it. Second one, manifestation gifts. So what are those? Let's have a look. So, Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. It says this: but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Whoop, that's for everybody. Yep, you're included. You're in. Okay? You're part of this. For the profit of all, again, for the building of the church. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, there it is again, individually as he wills. So these particular gifts are often ones we say sensationalize. They can seem super spiritual. Is that, you see what I mean? Yeah, we can go, oh, spirit, you know, people who speak in tongues or discern tongues, they go, wow, these guys are so spiritual. I can never do that, so I'm not going to. You're judging your spirituality on the gift that somebody else has. Don't do it. It is so easy to say, I can't do that. I can't speak in tongues, although it's good to do that. I can't discern tongues, although it's good to do that. I can't prophesy. I've never seen a person healed in my life when I've prayed for it. It doesn't make you any spiritually less than anyone else. Your gift might be different. Find the gift that is your gift and excel in that. That's what I want to encourage you this morning to do. But let's again not put these people on a pedestal and go, they are super spiritual because they happen to have a gift that looks very spiritual. Okay? They are manifestations of the Spirit. It's not down to their ability. Okay? Do not disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify yourself. What I will say about these particular gifts is that I think we've lost a lot of these gifts, or the use of these gifts. Especially over the last 18 months with lockdown and not being able to see each other in the same way. And, you know, often we want to lay hands on people. We want to pray when we're close in the proximity. We want to, you know, in these sort of contexts, then that's when these things happen. But I want to say, stir these up again, guys, because we need them. They are here specifically for the building up of the body. Okay? And if you want to see the church grow, we've got to start using them. So I just want to encourage you, and you guys out there, let's start to use them in our groups when we'll meet with people. You know, have a coffee and then say, I just want to pray a word over you. Come on, let's do it. Yeah? Let's start to stir those gifts in particular, because I believe, really, those are the ones we've lost a lot of. Yeah? And I'm saying that to myself as well. I know Tim has a passion for people to be healed. He wants to see, and he's stirring the gift of healing in him. Yeah, he doesn't always get it right, but he'll keep doing it because there is something in him that says, I want to see people healed. There's a gifting I believe I've got, and I'm going to keep using it. And I've seen churches, and I've heard of stories in churches where they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for healing for years and years and years and years, and then one day, someone gets healed, then another, then another, then another. And then people start to hear about it and come and get attracted to it. And they have a healing ministry like they've never seen before. Why? They continue to use their gift. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting excited. Woo! Motivational gifts, the last set of gifts. So why are these called motivational? They're motivational because they are gifts that the Spirit uses to motivate the way we are, the way we behave, the way we act, in particular with each other and with other people, okay? So let's read this very quickly. Romans 12:6-8. Having them then gifts differing according to the grace that he has given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, they are motivational because they are there to motivate us in the way we behave, the way we interact, the way we do things together. And again, sometimes we can sort of put those down as the sort of lowest form of gift. okay? You know, the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement. As I encourage people, that's fine. It's not really a gift, is it? I just do it. It's important. Don't lower that gift because you think some others are more charismatic. Yeah? So it doesn't matter, like I said, the size, what it looks like. You know, whatever is in your toolbox, God has given you to use. So let's use it, okay? But that is not it. I mean, those are some of the key ones, and those are the ones that are listed. But there are lots of others, I believe. I don't believe God is limited by a list. Yeah? I believe there are other gifts that God is stirring us to use. So I just wanted to go through those, and I want you to think, okay, which of those are in my toolbox? Or maybe, which of those do I want in my toolbox? You know, I want a gift for Christmas, so sometimes I have to ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. Yeah? So maybe there's a gift. Oh, it says about, you know, desiring the gift of prophecy. Well, then ask for it. God, I want the gift. Please put it in my toolbox. And then let's see. Let's go it. Has he put it in yet? Let's try it. Let's go for it. Okay? You see, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, I want to encourage you to use and continue to use your gifts. To see this church, the body of Christ, built up, growing, effective in reaching this city, this county, this country, and beyond. That's what we're here for. That's why God is building the church. You see, in 1 Corinthians, we are encouraged by Paul to earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Well, what does that mean? I believe we have seasons where there are certain gifts that, you know, God stirs in our heart to use, perhaps, because there are seasons that we're in. You know, we've been through a heck of a time, haven't we, as a world. The world has been through one heck of a time. And we've all got stories to tell of how we've come through. Although we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And God doesn't say, choose the most important. Go for the top ones. Don't go for the most spiritual. He says, go for the ones we need at the time to help build the church. What are they? And if you're not sure, ask God. God, what do I need to do at this time? What's in my toolbox that this person really needs right now? What have I got to do? How can I build this person up? What particular part of what I've got that you've given me will help this person and build this person? Because that's what we're here for. You see, more than ever, we need to love one another. And then love the world. Boy, do we need that. Do we need community? Do we need family? Do we need fellowship? Everybody, no matter faith, no faith. I think many people have realized just how much they need each other at this time. And so we need to love one another. We've done a lot about that in the past. I just want to finish off. Because often Hamilton, I know others do it as well, but often Hamilton, when he wins a race, first thing he does is rather than say, how good am I? How quick was I there? God, didn't I drive that car well? I'm just so good. He doesn't do that. Often the first thing he does is say, thank you, team. Well done, guys. Thank you so much for getting me to where I have got to. Without you, I could not have done it. So I want to say this morning, thank you, team. Thank you, team. I want to recognize how many of you, over these last 18 months or so, have continued to use the gifts that God has given you for the building up of this church. It's been a privilege to see how some of you have exercised your faith when others have struggled with theirs? Thank you for that. Those of you that every week, every day, have prayed and prayed and prayed for situations that you've heard about, seen about, you know, so many. You know, I mean, we got WhatsApp strings going on for miles of situations of prayer where people have prayed and prayed and prayed, using their gift of faith to do that. Thank you for all of those that have encouraged others on a Zoom meeting, in a WhatsApp group. Thank you for those that have generously continued to give, even in times of hardship. Thank you for those that have served in so many practical ways over this time, when people have been in need. Thank you for your hospitality, for people needing fellowship. There are so many examples of many of you guys, and you guys out there who have continued to use your gift to build this church. So thank you. Because without you, this church will not grow. However, in finishing, what I want to say is this. Don't stop. Yeah? The Mercedes team haven't stopped. They're already looking at next year's car. They're already looking at how to go further, how to go faster, how to go quicker. They're already using their gifts, their skills, their abilities to push on even more. That's what we've got to do. Okay? As we come out of this season and into the next, whatever that looks like, we need your gifts. We need what God has put in your toolbox. I need your gift. See, I need your gift to help me grow. I need your prayers. I need your faith. I need your encouragement. I need your hospitality. I need your gift of healing, your gift of prophecy, your gift of generosity, your gift of helping. You see, without you, I am lesser. Without your gifts, this church is poorer. Without your gift, this church is missing something that God has put in the toolbox to help this church grow. Because we're part of the biggest project, the biggest building project ever created. We're part of the building project called church. The Church of Jesus Christ. And whether you like it or not, you're on this team. You are part of this team. Lewis Hamilton did not become 7 times world champion, maybe 8, on his own. He had thousands of gifted, talented people. Each one was important, each one was essential in seeing the team achieve success. So whether you're in Hereford, CLC, whether you're in CLC, Ross in CLC, Leinster in CLC, Ledbury in CLC, wherever it is, they have gifted, talented, amazing people that God has put here right now for this time. You are not here randomly. You see, whether you've been here for years, some of us have been here for an awful long time, or whether you've only just come, whether God has just called you to come here right now, you're here because you have something to give. You have something that will help this church grow and touch lives, change lives through the power of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, guys, that's it. Thank you. You're on the team. And together, let's see where God will take us. And let's see what God will do. I just want to pray. Sorry I've gone on. I appreciate time's gone on. Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for this amazing team that we are part of. I thank you for every person you have called to be part of this team, to be part of CLC in Hereford, to be in Ross, to be in Ledbury, to be in Leinster. I thank you, Father, that each one has a gift or gifts that you've given them, that you've given us, to see us become successful in seeing your gospel reach to the ends of the earth. Lord, will you just stir those gifts again? I just pray, Holy Spirit, will you just stir those gifts in us once again? Father, if we're not sure what those gifts are, will you help us? Will you show us what they are? Will you put fresh gifts in? Father God, we just want to be open to do what you want us to do. We are here with you, building with you, on team with you. And so we just thank you so much for all that you are doing and will do with us in this place at this time. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.